Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you, and we're joined right now by our good friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning, Paul.
Yeah, good morning to you.
How's it going over there?
Pretty well. How about yourself?
Not bad. We were all excited about getting some warmer temperatures, but it does sound like we're going to get some of that snow as well. What are you seeing with Mother Nature?
That's right. Yeah, looking at this system coming up here as we get into early morning Thursday. Let's looking to bring some snow accumulations and maybe some mixed precip to contend with as well as we get to early morning hours Thursday and then through much of the day. So still some uncertainties regarding snow accumulations, but certainly some of the forecast runs have been suggesting several inches to pile up during the day on Thursday. So tomorrow we'll be talking a little even better read on some of that snow potential here. But in the meantime, today and tomorrow, still looking quiet and mild here for us. Still some cloud cover today and some breaks of sun as we get more to the afternoon. Temperatures steady in the 30s, west winds 10 to 20. Tonight, partly cloudy, 19, and then 41 on Wednesday with a mix of clouds and sun. Increasing clouds Wednesday night, light snow, maybe some mixed precip moving in as we get to early morning Thursday, low of 28, and then snow and some mixed precip, maybe some sleet mixed in with that as well, mid-30s Thursday, and then light snow into Thursday night, 23, and then by Friday, more clouds, maybe some sunny breaks, upper 20s, 10 Friday night, and then 32 with some sun Saturday, 40 on Sunday with partly sunny skies as the warmer temps make a return through the end of the weekend. I'm meteorologist Paul Trump.
Appreciate the updates, Paul. You have yourself a great one, and we'll talk tomorrow.
Sounds good. You guys too.
Yeah, thank you, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
Always good catching up with our good friends over there.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't sound too bad for this weekend.
I was going to say, you know, I think it doesn't sound nearly as bad as I think it was looking on the earlier this weekend when I was looking at the forecast. I one of these days I'm going to drive Paul or Michael crazy because I notice more and more I'm one of those wannabe weather people. Like, I talk like I actually know what I'm talking about or something like that. Like, you know, I saw this the other day on the Weather Channel, you know, because I saw Jim Cantore do it or something like that. I think I know what I'm doing or something like that.
I don't know. Paul's pretty forgiving.
He's a pretty good guy. Yeah, he's a pretty good guy, all right. Got some interesting stuff this hour. Of course, we'll get into Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. Looking forward to that. At some point, I want to touch on this, how much it takes to be a high roller at a casino. But speaking of money, we've got an interesting one here. I usually tend to stay away from some of these TikTok trends, only because when they were first really beginning, some of them were a bit dangerous. And we noticed that when we did these and covered them that, you know, they'd only seemed to make them more popular. So didn't seem like a real smart idea on our part to be, you know, contributing to that, to be honest. So I tend to stay away from them. So when I first saw the 100 envelope challenge, I was like, I don't know. What are we doing here? You got to lick 100 envelopes and still have saliva left over? What is this? What are we doing here?
And no paper cuts.
Yes, no paper cuts. Yeah, well, it's actually nothing close to that. The hashtag 100 envelope challenge has accumulated more than 160 million views, and there are several different versions. But here's the idea. You get 100 envelopes and number them 1 to 100. On day one, you put a dollar into the first envelope. On day two, you put $2 into the second envelope. On day three, three, and so on, until the 100th day when you put $100 in. By the end, you will have $5,050 in 100 envelopes. It's supposed to be an exercise to get you to save money, but the more you think about it, the less clever it seems. A lot of people barely make $5,000 in 3 months, so they don't have the option of stuffing that loose cash into envelopes since it's needed for rent and food, and there's no magic happening. You need to have the $5,000 to put in. It's backloaded, so while it's workable for the first few weeks, by the final week, you'll need like $679, which is about $100 a day.
Whew.
The money is not accruing interest. You won't earn a big amount of interest on that money in 3 months, but some online saving accounts are offering 3% interest in these days. On a full $5,000, that's more than $12 a month.
Yep.
It's risky to just have a bunch of envelopes of cash sitting around. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. This is the one that stands out to me. Especially if you're broadcasting it on social media and telling people. What
I'm doing the 100 envelope challenge. Oh, well, we know whose house to stop at in 100 days.
What the what, people? What are you doing? Well, hey, you know, I mean, it's like these celebrities that got to show you their house. Like, hey, here's my house, and here's all this, and oh, this is the kind of security system I use, and like, so this can be a nice way to force yourself to save money if you have no willpower and you have a decent income, and you're just spending too much. But even then, you'll probably have to plan ahead for the expenses day at the end. There's also a better version that a few people are doing, and it goes like this: number the 100 envelopes and then drop them in a box. Each week, pick out 2 envelopes at random and save the amount of money on just those 2. After 50 weeks or about 1 year, you will have saved about that same amount, $5,000. It's more fun because you don't know what 2 envelopes will come up at each week. Also, it's more sustainable since it's at most 199 in 1 week. And the challenge is spread over a whole year, and you should consider banking it. So one of the things that we do with children is we got to pick up the toys at the end of the night. Let's turn it into a game, you know? Right. Oh, we'll make this leisure, boring activity fun with a game. And that's really cool. It's one of the greatest ways to bond with your kid and to understand how your kid learns.
Motivate them,
absolutely. And that usually wraps up, you know, before they hit double digits. An adult doing this is the equivalent of a child doing this to a child, to me. Like, I don't begrudge people having a fun way or trying to find different ways to save. Obviously, I'm a big and very in favor of that. And anytime you can find a fun way, add some fun in your life, do it. I'm all on that. I'm all in on that. I look for, you know, I'm the guy that can't just throw something away. I have to turn it into a basketball and take a shot. It's fun. It's a way to turn mundane things into fun. Mm-hmm. It also has made me very good at rebounding. This seems extremely childish to me.
Well, it's a little bit like Russian roulette. Like, okay, we're going to pull out 2 envelopes this week. All right, so I've got, you know, oh, man, I pulled a 50 and a 100 this week. How am I going to... That's $150 I got to come up with this week that I can't spend on... Oh, and rent is due this week. It doesn't make sense to me. You should plan your savings in a much more doable fashion. Like, have it automatically transferred out of your paycheck every time you get a paycheck into your savings. You can set it up that way on your mobile banking app or on your computerized banking.
A lot safer than having 100 envelopes sitting around in your house.
Yeah.
And who can do this? Like, we do this, we've been doing this for a while now, and we're trying to incorporate more of our audience on the air here and everything, and encourage you guys to call up and join the show. This one, I want to hear from you email-wise. Email me, please, and let me know. Not if you're going to do this or anything. I want to know if you could even do this. If you wanted to, if you could even do something like this.
Well, who has cash anymore?
Well, that's a good point, too. That's a very good point, too, Melissa. Yeah, yeah. I'm still one of these people that has to, when I get paid, I get at least a bit out of my account because I like to have cash on me. But I'm a dying breed. There's very few people still doing it. And even I'm on the fence of still doing this because the more and more I walk around with a wallet that annoys me, the more I'm thinking about these wallets nowadays that you can put on your phone. That kind of thing with just your cards and all that.
Really easy to spend cash,
in my opinion. Yeah.
I mean, it's becoming much easier to spend using cards as well. And having a wallet on your phone that you can just spend right off your phone super easy with a couple clicks. But I've held back from doing that because I don't want it to be easy to spend money.
Yeah. I'm with you on that, but honestly, the thing that boggles my mind is that anybody that can do this, anybody that can actually afford to do this. And I'm not talking about early on, of course, most of us could do that.
The first 25,
right.
That'd probably be pretty easy, but the rest of them,
And look, I've got multiple jobs. I don't get paid horribly at any of those jobs, and I'm still a pretty much a, if not check to check, borderline check to check. And I know I'm not alone in that. I know there's so many people out there in that same boat.
I would say a majority of households.
It's hard to imagine who's how this becomes a trend and how people are doing this. I'm curious. I think that this is more. This 160 million views is more a little bit of people like well, we are.
Where just, what is this?
Yeah. Not watching it because they're looking to do it. As some, a little more dumbfounded by it.
Yeah. 63% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck.
Right. We have not touched minimum wage in, let me double check, 19,000 years. We have not updated the minimum wage in most states, including the one that we live in right now. And yet you're going to know it's not a wonder people are looking for new and niche ways to save. That's not surprising at all. It's just
no, and it's much harder to save just diving through your couch cushions because people don't carry cash or change around with them anymore. So you're not going to find as much.
It doesn't have to be a long, dragged-out email. James.Maloff@civicmedia.us. Go ahead and let me know. Yes, no, you could do this. You can't do this. I'm curious to know. I'm polling people. I want to know how many people in our listenership could actually do this if they wanted to.
In 100 days.
In 100 days, yes. I'm very curious about that because I don't think we're going to see a high number. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think we're going to see a lot of people that can do this. We'll come back to this one. I'm going to get some data on this and later in the week when the three of us you get together Wednesday, we'll take a look at this again. That email, james.maloff@civicmedia.us, is a great email source to get us your birthdays and anniversaries as well.
Absolutely.
Send them to us, everybody. You can also send it to info@wfhr.com, or you can direct message us on Facebook, just like our page, and get them to us. We're going to be doing some celebrate with Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club when we get back here on the morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. It's time for Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. We're going to do some celebrating right now. And we encourage you to head on over to Misty's. They are open right now till 2 and open 6 to 2. Most weeks, we'll get into that information for you in a second. They are located at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR. Keep in mind, Wednesdays and Thursdays in February and the first 3 weeks of March, they are going to be closed. They'll be closed February 25th. To March 5th, they'll resume normal hours beginning the week of March 20th.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead and get into the celebrating. Melissa, I need a 1 through 3.
Ooh, let's go with 1.
All right, that gives us our qualifier. Diving right into the birthdays, want to wish a very happy birthday to Tara Cook.
Happy birthday, Tara.
We hope it's a good one for you, Tara. Enjoy your day.
Mm-hmm.
Also, very happy birthday to Aisha Rashman. Rama.
Happy birthday, Aisha.
Aisha is an amazing human being, a good old friend, wonderful human being. Wishing her a fantastic day today. And our qualifier, another great human being, Kathy Wenger.
Happy birthday, Kathy. Congratulations.
Congrats, Kathy. Enjoy your day. We hope it's a great one for you, and you're our qualifier for today.
All right.
We need our January winner for Misty's Menu Certificate to contact us, 424-1300. That is Milton Ham. Milton, if you can get a hold of us by Friday, we'd greatly appreciate it. If we don't have anybody by Friday, then we're going to draw a new winner for the January birthdays.
Ah, yes.
So I want to get a hold of us, Milton. If you happen to know Milton, make sure that he gets a hold of us. That's free Misty's just sitting there.
You don't want to miss out on that Misty's.
Mm-mm. Let's take a look at some celebrity birthdays here. Ashton Kutcher is 45.
Really?
Yeah.
45.
You may wonder, some people out there, why you haven't seen Ashton Kutcher that much lately. I know he is on the most recent version of That 70s Show, and he's done some movies here and there and everything since the original run of that show. But he has been very busy. He's certainly been focusing on his family with Mila Kunis. But the most thing that he has been doing with his time is trying to end human trafficking. And he's put a lot of his energy, his time, his money into that. And you talk about putting your money where your mouth is. Everything about an actor's career is striking where the iron's hot. You have no idea how long that star is going to last, how quickly it is going to fade, and how many people are standing behind you waiting for your job. Mm-hmm. To take the time and arguably a prime time for him, and granted, it's acting. He's 45. He can do this for the next 45 years.
As a man, exactly.
And so I don't want that to be lost in the shuffle here or anything. I'm not trying to make it sound like Ashton Kutcher is doing some huge sacrifice, but he is sacrificing. He is giving of his time to do this and his money and all of his efforts. And he's done some incredible work doing this. Thousands of lives he's helped.
That's awesome.
Steve Nash is 49. Real quick. Ashton Kutcher, a solid, way better than average actor. The Butterfly Effect. You watch the movie The Butterfly Effect, you'll see what I'm talking about. He's much more than the kid on the 70s show that you see and stuff. He's got chops. one of the best ball handlers, best point guards of all time, Steve Nash is 49, NBA Hall of Famer, two-time MVP, Canada's own.
Nice.
Sully Erna is 55. He is the lead singer for Godsmack.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I saw Godsmack at an Ozfest once, and they're a good band, and we were kind of excited. They had, I think it was their first album that was out at the time. So we were like, oh, we're going to watch these guys. And I am so thankful we did. At one point, they're jamming, they're playing, and all the members of the band, slowly, the guitar player, the bassist, the drummer, all slowly kind of peel off a stage, and Sully's just out there. And as, the bassist left, Sully picked up the bass and started wailing on it. As the guitarist left, Sully picked up the guitar and started wailing on it. And then he went over to the drums and just blew us all away by his drumming. That guy is incredibly talented.
Wow.
Yeah, I had no idea he had those kind of skills to him or anything, but that man, he's a very talented musician.
Cool. Well, happy birthday, Sully.
The great Chris Rock is 58 today.
Ah.
Very, very good actor, I think, and obviously an incredibly good stand-up comedian. Mm-hmm. The George Carlin School of Smart Comedy. For example, Chris Rock talked about one of my favorite bits of his is talking about drive-by shootings and how horrible these are and how innocent people are more times than not the victim of a drive-by shooting and how insane this is and how prevalent guns are. Mm-hmm. And maybe what we can't do about guns, but what if we charge an insane amount for a mission? For ammunition. The idea of a guy I would take you out right now, but I got bullets on layaway. I just got to wait for they're on layaway. In about 2 years, I'll be able to get them off layaway. And the smart comedy, the idea of having a joke, but with a point in it.
Yeah, that gives a possible solution.
Mm-hmm. Chris Rock is also going to be having this year a live, the first, I believe, one of the first, if not the first, it is the first, live comedy special on Netflix. And that's where he is apparently going to be talking about the Will Smith situation.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that he was on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Chris Rock?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's showing up on his. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It seems right.
And then the new one that he just did with Samuel L. Jackson called Spiral.
Yeah, that one.
Anything about that?
Oh, yeah, that was supposed to be. That is supposed to be more of a Saw kind of movie, it's a very different type of movie for them. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm probably not going to like it.
One of the best to ever do it, Garth Brooks is 61 today.
Aw, happy birthday, Garth. How come he didn't sing to us this morning?
I know. I feel like we missed out on that. You know, it's his birthday. We didn't want to make him work today.
Give him a day off. Yeah.
But when I say one of the best to do it, you can incorporate that a lot of different ways. I'm just talking about as a musician. Not a country singer, not a pop singer. I mean, just as an MC, as a showman. I have never heard somebody talk about a Garth Brooks concert and not be blown away. Eddie Izzard is 61 today, British comedian who played Master Thief Roman on Ocean's 11 and Ocean's 13. Eddie Izzard is one of my favorite comedians of all time. When I was talking about with Chris Rock, same type of thing with Eddie Izzard. Eddie Izzard does this great thing. He's an English comedian. And he'll talk about England. I'm from England, where all the castles come from. he talks about human history in these very funny ways of during the before the Renaissance when they're basically, making you choose between these things, cake or death. Cake or death? cake. All right, fine. Here's your cake. Cake or death? Cake. Fine. All right, but we're going to run out of cake at this rate. We're going to Google cake or death, and you will be thankful. You will, trust me. Eddie Izzard, one of my favorite people ever. I got to see him at the United Center, and we were warned an hour before the show that he was sick, and it might not be he may not be able to give a full performance, and you could get a refund if you wanted. And nobody was getting refunds. Everybody still showed up. That man gave us a 3-hour show.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was on the top of his game throughout the whole thing. Like a really great performance. James Spader is 63, the Blacklist star. He's also Ultron in Age of Ultron. He was in Boston Legal. He was in The Office. I was actually just talking about James Spader with my dad the other day because my dad has become a big fan of The Blacklist. He's just binged that show and everything and likes it. And we were talking about James Spader and his career. And, man, I would not mind having his career at all. Multiple hit TV shows in multiple decades. One of the original Brat Pack guys. He's had a really good career, actually.
Yeah, he was in Stargate. That's where I know
That's
him
right.
From.
Yeah, he was in Stargate, too. I mean, he's had so many good shows, I forget about some of his work. That's how much he has been able to find consistent work.
He was the original Daniel Jackson in the Stargate movie.
Mm. Oh, yes, yes,
not,
yeah.
He was not in the show, but he was in the original movie.
Great movie. Great movie. I don't know. I haven't watched it in a long time. I don't know how well it holds up, but you got peak Kurt Russell. Doing the Kurt Russell thing that you ask Kurt Russell to do in every movie, and he does it. and a great performance by James Spader, yeah. Some other great performances in there, too. The Egyptian God, I forget the young person that played it. Good role, good performance, too. That actor was in The Crying Game, from what I remember.
Yeah, I don't remember the name.
Great longtime comedian, writer. Robert Smigel is 63. He is Triumph the Insult Comic Dog. and many other great bits over the years. I worked at Saturday Night Live forever, and Dana Carvey and him got a good relationship. They did the Upright, They did a show together as well. Good comedian, good actor, good writer. And some people no longer with us, like Laura Ingalls Wilder, born in 1867, passed away in 1957. Children's author, Little House on the Prairie, of course. Classic. This is interesting.
Love the books. I've never actually read the books, but of course I saw the whole TV series, Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah. Melissa Gilbert played her on the show, I believe.
Yes.
Interesting. I always love when these things happen. So Laura celebrating a birthday on this day, and along with Charles Dickens.
Really?
Two classic authors share a birthday. Mm-hmm. I always find that interesting when these kind of things happen with musicians or actors or any of these things. Charles Dickens, born in 1812, passed away in 1870. Didn't do a whole lot with his career. You know, just the Christmas Carol, David Copperfield, some other, not too much.
Just a few.
Quite a life, quite a career for Charles
Oliver
Dickens.
Oliver Twist, Great Expectations, The Tale of Two Cities.
Just
all the classics.
A couples here and there and stuff. A Tale of Two Cities is sneaky good, and Great Expectations. I think that is. I don't like the idea of mandatory reading. I think reading should be fun. Reading should be something that you reach out for and want. But I also think that you have something called teenagers, it was one of those things in school that we had to read Great Expectations, and I remember being a teenager and being begrudging about it and not wanting to, and getting about a chapter or two in and being locked into it.
Yeah, like they're intimidating to take on when you're that age, and you don't understand as much of it as you would as an adult, but there is a substance in there that is so visceral to what life is. I remember reading The Grapes of Wrath in high school and thinking, wow, this is actually a really interesting story and an interesting book.
Yeah, I
And some of the things that they wrote, there was a quote out of Great Expectations that I was supposed to read in a show. Mm. And it gave a very specific passage. Like, there was a specific page and line numbers that I was supposed to read. And it was, they had very, very long sentences in that book.
Yeah, yeah.
and the subject matter was like, why would he have picked that? It's yes, very interesting.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I'm reminded of my grandfather, my mom's dad, and he was hard on me. I was born left-handed, and I was going to learn to write with my right hand and things like that. I was 8, 9 years old, and he handed me Uncle Tom's Cabin. And I told him I wasn't very good at reading, and he told me he didn't care. The book doesn't care. It was really hard, and I remember being angry with him about it. And I remember telling him as an older man, thank you. It's one of my favorite books still. It helped me as a writer in the book Uncle Tom's Cabin, for those that haven't read it. It's the first book that I read, one of the first books I read, of course, but one of the only books I've read where you have the narration, and then you have when people talk. And the way people talk, it was different. It was spoken like they would speak.
Yeah, written phonetically, how they speak, and that, colloquially.
I hadn't read things like that before, read much like that, and it was a huge influence on me as a writer, and it's the way I write now, very similar to, at least. It helped me, you know, not be as intimidated by some of those books when I got into middle school and everything, of facing, you know, the Grapes of Wrath or Great Expectations or anything like that. I've never been a great reader, never was, but I can't imagine how worse I would be if it wasn't for those things. We'll take a break. We'll get to Melissa's news. When we come back, we're talking idioms and the origin stories of them.
All right.
Coming up on The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. We hope you're having a good one out there. It's a good song.
Mm-hmm.
Night Shift. Commodores? Yeah, Commodores. Good one.
I trust you on that one.
I don't have like actual like useful knowledge in my head. It's just tons and tons of music, no random facts that won't help me unless I ever end up on Jeopardy, and I won't even get that category. I wouldn't even get that category.
Right.
many people out there enjoy idioms, using idioms. They're an American staple, like apple pie or baseball or comeback story. It's not something that is very popular throughout the rest of the world. So doing these idioms not only are fun for us here and kind of learning the origin stories, but many of our listeners throughout the country and other countries enjoy this. So it's kind of fun to do these. I know that on Tuesdays, Melissa and I kind of switch off. Sometimes we'll do weird random facts, and sometimes we'll do idioms. We haven't done the idioms in a while. No, you've tried to get away from them, but you're not scot-free yet. You're not. The phrase scot-free. It means something or someone is completely free from penalty or harm. The term is also used in discussing a person who has avoided paying taxes. The expression originates from the Scandinavian word skat, S-K-A-T, which means
poop,
which means tax or payment.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, you're right. The word mutated into Scott as the name of taxation meant to provide relief to the poor during the 10th century. Someone who did not have to pay the tax for some reason was referred to as scot-free. That's interesting. Okay.
Yeah, that is all right.
Hey, and you know, I mean, when in Rome, you know, you use that terminology, you know, when in Rome.
A lot.
The phrase, when in Rome, do as the Romans do, refers to the importance of adapting yourself to the customs of people who are in a certain place or situation and behave like they do. This interesting idiom is often shortened to when in Rome, perhaps because it's such a well-known phrase. The origin of the idiom when in Rome, do as the Romans do, was first printed in 1777 in interesting letters of Pope Clement, the siesta or afternoon nap of Italy. My most dear and reverend father would not have alarmed you so much if you had reconciled or recollected that when we're at Rome, we should do as the Romans do. This use suggestion suggests that the idiom was already well known, and the variation of it can be seen in examples dating back as early as late 1500s.
Wow.
And that kind of makes sense when you consider the history and the, you know, the way that we have celebrated the Roman Empire.
Mm-hmm.
very interesting, I think. I did not see that one going that route.
And it's kind of funny that something that was used, that started to become a phrase, was then used by the Pope in one of his writings.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's how it became so popular.
Like, I would consider this current Pope doing things like that, but not many before. You know, I can't think of many others that would do that kind of thing. So that's kind of interesting. That's a really good point on that, I think. Well, that's the last straw. That's the last straw on that one. That is the last straw. That
You're
is
done.
It.
I'm fired.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you did tell me to hand in my resignation letter today. I was going to come back with a smart remark of, oh, you mean the one I have drafted in my email ready to go at a moment's notice?
Oh.
But I thought I wouldn't do that to you through text.
You thought a lot smarter than I did by actually sending that text. I did one of the, okay, we're giving people a look behind the curtain real quick here. Melissa texted me yesterday, give me a heads up. She's usually in studio on Tuesdays with the weather, felt it would be safer not to, and completely agree with her. But of course, I can't just be a normal, you know, program director and tell her, hey, that's a great idea, Melissa, we'll see you Wednesday. I have to send her an immediate response, well, I expect your resignation in the morning. I've Because I can't respond to anything without sarcasm. I'm realizing more and more. To which Melissa, thankfully, I first off, I got to tell you what was going on behind the scenes here, Mel, for me. I send that forward, and as soon as I hit send, I'm like, you know, I don't know if she's in the mood for this. I don't know if I should be doing this to her. And I also don't know how... I look at us as our relationship. We're brother and sister. We've known each other a while now. We're close. But you know, that's my opinion on this. And it's sometimes you project those things. So I'm not sure if I'm coming across funny or not, or if it. I didn't think for a second you took me seriously. It was more about if it was funny or not. Thankfully for me, Melissa sent me back a message a couple minutes later, laughing at all that. So, but
it's all good, bro.
That could have been the last straw for you. That could have been.
Yeah, because I typed that out, and then I was like, is James in the mood to receive this back? And then I just sent you a GIF.
That was great. The final straw, the phrase the last straw, is used to describe the last of a series of undesirable or unpleasant events that makes you come to the realization that you can no longer accept a situation that has been worsening for a while. Mm-hmm. Where it's the origin story of this. The origin of the idiom, the last straw, can be found in the old English proverb, it is the last straw that breaks the camel's back.
Yep.
Was first seen in 1755, and many different forms of the statement were used between then and 1836, when the suffering animal occasionally described as a horse or an elephant rather than as a camel.
Yeah, that makes sense, because obviously we don't have camels in parts of this world.
It's funny how that that is one of the few idioms that around the world people use. That there's not a lot of those. There's really only about a handful, maybe a little bit more than that. And that is one of the ones that's used. Interestingly, the animal changes per region, similar to what Melissa's talking about there.
Yeah. Well, because it's a very visual and common thing that you would see back then, you know, the 16th, 17th century of... You can only load an animal up so much.
Yeah.
I mean, now we have weight limits on vehicles, so it's not the board that broke the F-150's axle.
Nice. Nice.
You can't. You have weight limits and ways of testing that. They didn't back then, so yeah. Animals probably, you know, suffered and died because of that.
Man.
And a very visual thing to remember.
Yeah, every donkey in human history is screaming right now, like, yes! Like, that was a great reference, Melissa. You're really Johnny on the spot on that. Yeah, really Johnny on the spot with that one. Nice job.
I do what I can, James.
Johnny on the spot refers to a person who is always available, ready, reliable, and willing to perform a duty or task without delay. When Gabriel comes over, you need to be my Johnny on the spot and make sure that we have whatever we need. Use of the phrase. The phrase was first recorded as in 1896 April issue of the New York Sun. Johnny on the spot, a new phrase which has become popular in New York. The origin of the phrase can't be traced specifically, though it certainly originated from the expression, Johnny is always on the spot when wanted.
Yeah.
And just shortened, like a lot of these get shortened.
Right. Once they become familiar and everybody knows what they mean.
Yeah.
it's confusing for non-English speakers or, you know, people who are just learning English.
We have a student who's been with us for a while, and she's from Canada, and really smart, very funny, and has no idea about idioms, none. And I swear, it's almost once a class, I will use something, or a student will use something, and we spend the next 5 minutes explaining what it is.
What it means.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
What? My name's not Johnny.
It would be within her right to give me a taste of my own medicine. It would definitely be within her right to do that, to flip the script again, if you will. But
yeah.
A taste of your own medicine is to indicate that someone is sampling the same unpleasantness that they have been dishing out to others.
Yes.
The origin of the phrase is comes from Aesop's famous story about a swindler who sells fake medicine, claiming that it can cure anything. When he falls ill, people give him his own medicine, which he knows will not work. Dun, dun, dun.
Yes. Snake oil peddlers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Something that we are probably going to see a lot on Monday, Melissa, or maybe even over the weekend with the Super Bowl going on. A lot of people jumping the bandwagon, jumping on the Chiefs or the Eagles bandwagon. I've always been a Chiefs fan. Like, that jersey's brand. That you still have a tag on the jersey, man. I can tell. You just bought that. What are you talking about? The origin of the idiom jump on the bandwagon is an interesting one. In 19th century America, a bandwagon was a horse-drawn wagon with a platform for a group of musicians, a band, that often preceded a circus or a parade. The phrase was first seen in 1848 when a famous clown named Dan Rice would use his circus bandwagon to transport politicians around town while the music attracted the public to an area where campaign speeches were being given.
Oh. I didn't know it had political leanings.
I had no idea of that one. That one I had no clue on.
That's cool.
That is very interesting. American politics, man. It is crazy. It is very interesting. I kind of wish we still did that. Tell me that clowns and politicians don't go hand in hand. I'm just saying. That was easy. That was low-hanging fruit. That was an easy one.
Mm-hmm. But you might get more people to come to, you know, a listening forum if you can get the politicians to come there.
It also might loosen things up a little bit. Now, politics is certainly, we're talking heavy things here. We're talking life and death in many situations, and money and not money and all that stuff. So it should be taken seriously. But like most things in life, there is a line in the sand. There's a level to that. The idea of having clowns be the kind of like the intro to kind of warm up act to these politicians. I don't know. Maybe it loosens things up a little bit. And we're not so I don't know. We don't have insane people going after, attempting to hurt, city council members and things like that. Like, we're obviously doing something wrong. Like, if you don't see that something's going wrong here, then you just are burying your head in the sand.
No, violence is never the answer.
Right. So maybe we do need something like this to loosen things up. Maybe we need stand-up comedians to start emceeing for politicians and introing them or something.
That would be funny. I would, John Oliver or Stephen Colbert...
Yeah.
They would be perfect moderators.
You got plenty of comedians on both sides of the aisle nowadays. What would be the harm in this? And maybe it would loosen this thing up a little bit to where people are already treating politics like they're sports teams.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe the point is we're not going to be able to get away from it. Maybe we need to lean into it a little bit and just find a way of a balance for all this.
Well, we got to do something because they need to talk. The American people should not just be exposed to these ads. We need to be able to hear politicians and listen to what they say they're going to do, not badmouth the other guy, because that tells us nothing.
Absolutely. And it's never worked, and I've never heard a person in my life say that, well, that attack ad really switched my belief. I'm going voting for the other person now. It doesn't happen.
No.
As we all know, actions speak louder than words.
Mm-hmm.
Actions speak louder than words means that I'm working to be the segue king. I am working on it. The origin of the idiom actions speak louder than words is found in literature and is hundreds of years old. This interesting and meaningful statement was first seen in Graham Berksley's book Will and Doom, published in 1692.
Wow.
Man, this is one of the oldest ones we've done.
Mm-hmm.
Actions are more significant than words. It has been a very popular idiom ever since. Words are important. Words are meaningful. Words mean nothing without actions. And words are also kind of silly, and we put way too much into them. It could be both. It could be both.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll have some more fun. Be on the lookout next Tuesday. Maybe we'll do random facts. Maybe we'll do some more idioms. We'll find out together. For now, we'll go ahead and take a break and we'll come back and talk about what it takes to be a high roller at a casino.
Important information.
Very important. It's coming up for us on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. We hope you're having a great one out there. In the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to get into some entertainment news. We're also going to get into the Wisconsin Department of Agricultural, Trade, and Consumer Protection's top 10 consumer complaints of 2022. Looking forward to getting into that. And of course, we've got some other fun stuff. Danny Wright stories, good stories of the day. Looking forward to all of it. On our schedule this week, of course, in the 8 o'clock hour, a little before this tomorrow, we're going to be joined by our good friends from the Quality Plus Printing, getting their words out. We'll have Phil Hartley join us with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to that one tomorrow. That'll be fun. And on Thursday, of course, in the 9 o'clock hour, we will have our Pet of the Week from our friends at the Southwood County Humane Society. Looking forward to that. Going to be fun.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what animals come in this week?
Never do. Madison always surprises us with that. And I love that. I enjoy that part of it so much. So we'll find out with all of you out there on Thursday when we have our Pet of the Week from our friends at the Southwood County Humane Society. Encourage you to reach out to them and see if they could use a hand, and certainly check in on all those furry friends over there, especially if you need a new furry friend.
Indeed.
We're a long way from the time when you could dress in your fanciest clothes, sit at a $5 blacktack table for a few hours, and expect a pit boss to give you a bunch of free rooms and meals and comps and all that stuff. I don't even know if our parents were able to get into that kind of thing. Casinos were pretty much have a set formula now for how much you need to spend before they consider you a high roller. And they won't tell you what it is. According to a professional gambler, he got gold status at the Cosmopolitan in Vegas after he played several hours at a $5 slot machine, then took his winnings and played at a $25 machine for a few hours. Gold status got him free rooms, food, and drinks. He wound up spending about $66,000 on slots the rest of the year, throughout a year, with a $2,200 profit. That got him to platinum status with limo rides, a VIP lounge at the casino, and free suites.
Yikes.
Over the course of 7 years, he spent over $800,000 total on slots and wound up with a net loss of $34,000, but he estimated he got about $60,000 in free perks.
Yikes.
What a life. I don't want to sit back.
That's a lot of time.
That's a lot of time. A lot of time in a casino. A lot of time spent gambling. Like, I don't know if he knows what the sun looks like anymore. I don't know.
Yeah. I have some questions, and none of them are good questions.
No. I've said this before. I own this completely. I am not a gambler. Life has been enough of a gamble for me. I don't need to incorporate money or the lottery into my life. Like, I've had enough. I don't understand how you could have any amount of money, no matter who you are, and want to take that money. And, well, I could invest it into a stock, or I could invest it into a cause. Or I could just go ahead and close my eyes and throw it at the wall. And maybe more will come back, and maybe won't. Like,
but there's pretty flashing lights, James, and you get to push buttons.
Don't understand it. Don't get it. I don't judge it either. I don't want to sound like I'm judging it. I know I've got relatives that love going to the casinos. My aunt and uncle used to come up here and visit us and spend just as much time at the casino. And I love my aunt and uncle. I got plenty of people that I know that do these things and enjoy it.
If that's what they like to do for their entertainment, that's, you know, we all pay for our entertainment.
Yeah. I mean, I don't... I, it, It's a little like how I used to pick on kids. Boy, this younger generation, they love watching other people play video games. How ridiculous is that? That's insane. And then I sit down and watch my Bulls or watch my, you know, one of my sports teams on TV. And then I'm like, oh, wait a minute.
Now I get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more, Melissa. If you can afford it, if you can swing it, hey, more power to you. Go right ahead.
And it's something you enjoy doing.
It's just like any other form of addiction. I've seen the dark side of this so much.
Right.
And I grew up seeing the dark side of it before I ever saw any positive or any light side of it. The people that I grew up around and saw all happened to be, and I'm not necessarily talking about relatives, just, you know, mm-hmm. random people that I grew up around in my city, in my neighborhood, were always people that were on the downfall of this. I never saw the highs of this. All I ever saw were the lows. So I'm sure that that affected my opinion, and I completely own that. Yeah. That being said, I don't understand anybody. I really enjoyed what Bill Gates did in an interview the other day. He wasn't trying necessarily to do this, but it might as well have been like two rappers talking beef about each other or having beef with each other, because he mentioned how, you know, why would I take this money and try flippantly to go to space when I can put it into helping people eat? it was a great shot, even though it wasn't really a shot. It was.
Yeah.
I'm of that mind. I'm not saying, hey, you should take that. If you spend $500, I'm going to give myself $500 to spend at the casino. I'm not telling you should take that complete $500 and give it to a charity. If you do that, great. That's awesome, and we encourage that. But it's your money. I'm not going to tell you what to do with your money. I will say that when $500 isn't enough, and you've got it up into 1,000 and up into 2,000 and that kind of thing,
and you can't afford that, then that's a problem.
Yeah. And you know, even the people that can afford it, like, you're just burning money. Like, the entertainment factor is so hit and miss and so fleeting. I've never met a gambler that after they got done with a night of gambling or got out buying a bunch of lottery tickets, got done with all that, and like, oh, I'm so satisfied now. Like, no, they're just wanting more and more and more. It's never enough.
Yeah.
So I teach their own. Don't know.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
I will say that I also have never been a person with a whole ton of free income. So watch
don't
me.
Don't have $500 sitting around to just, you know, do whatever you want
with. Let me just double check, look under this. Nope, don't have it. Don't have it. I thought I'd double check.
Where are your envelopes, James?
Yes,
you're 1 through 100.
You know what? That's what I'll do. We got a 2-3 minute break here. I'm going to go ahead and start labeling envelopes and get started on that. While I'm doing that, you guys go ahead and sit back, take a listen to CBS News, catch up on that, and then we'll come back. We'll get you a forecast that you probably don't want, and we'll come back and we'll have some fun with some entertainment news. And Melissa and I are interested in getting into that consumer report. Looking forward to that as well. All that coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.